The Colgate House Party, starring Joe Cook and featuring Donald Novus, Francis Langford, and Don Voorhees. And now, Donald Novus, Francis Langford, and the Colgate Quartet will start the party off by singing, I Idolize My Baby's Eyes.
I idolize my baby's eyes. I realize they tantalize. I don't know whether they are brown or blue. When we're together, they keep looking through me. Oh, what a feeling I declare. In that revealing baby's bed. Oh, when they meet the type that paralyzes my eyes.
I idolize my baby's eyes. I realize they can collide.
I don't know whether they are proud or blue. When we're together, they keep looking through me.
Oh, what a feeling I declare.
For when they hypnotize and paralyze, I idolize my baby's eyes. For when they hypnotize and paralyze, I idolize.
Oh, I
may we present Joe Cook.
Thank you very kindly. Say, Don Voorhees, what was the name of that number?
Well, that was I Idolized My Baby's Eyes.
Yeah, I know, but what was the name of the number you just played?
I just told you it was I Idolized My Baby's Eyes.
Yeah, I heard you the first time. You don't have to keep repeating it every minute. Do you think I'm sick or something?
Well, now that you ask me, yes, you're a sap.
All right, then, you're a pain in the neck.
And you're a big fish.
Well, Don, stop right there. I was waiting for you to mention fish so I could tell you about the time I caught a halibut weighing 97 pounds in his stocking feet.
A fish doesn't wear stockings, Joe.
I caught the fish and it weighed 97 pounds.
What?
Well, not exactly 97. That was counting the fishing pole, too. But it really weighed 81 pounds, and boy, when you get a 70-pound fish like that on your line, what a thrill. I can remember it as clearly as if it were yesterday. In fact, it was yesterday. It tipped the scales at exactly 70 pounds.
Tipped the scales?
Yes, it didn't have any hats, so it tipped its scales.
Oh, so you can get quite a babble from a 70-pound fish, Joe.
Well, perhaps I was exaggerating a little when I said 70 pounds.
Uh-huh.
But I will say it was one of the heaviest 50-pound halibut I ever caught. It took me 17 hours to land that fish, and it was just about the gamest 42-pound fish I ever hooked.
It's big for a halibut, Francis.
Maybe I'm a little skeptical, Joe, but how do you know it weighed 42 pounds?
Well, Francis, it must have weighed pretty near 42 pounds. After all, when a fish pulls you right out of the boat and you have to swim over and wrestle with it, well, it's just got to weigh 42 pounds. Or at the least, well, at the very least, 35 pounds.
Oh, I don't know, Joe. A fish that weighed 25 pounds could do that.
Well, yes, maybe, but you got to admit a guy doesn't catch a 25-pound fish every day.
No, Joe. Most people don't go fishing every day.
All right. I'll prove that this fish weighed at the very least 12 pounds. Now, as soon as I landed it, we weighed it. And what do you think it weighed?
8 pounds.
No, sir. 3 pounds, 4 ounces.
Oh.
That's the world's record for smallmouth halibut and bigmouth fishermen.
The world's record for halibut is 3 pounds, 4 ounces?
As far as I'm concerned, it is.
Oh, I see.
When I got home, I showed it to everybody, and they said it was the finest 2-pound halibut they'd ever seen. The newspapers took my picture holding the fish, and underneath the picture it read, Joe Cook captures 1-pounder after all-day battle. Reading from left to right, Joe Cook and the fish.
What did the way dress, Joe?
Huh? What did what way dress?
The fish you caught.
I didn't catch any fish. I never went fishing in my life.
Well,
you shouldn't go around talking about people like that. Aren't you ashamed telling people
minute.
I caught a fish? Why, some of my best friends are fish.
Well, just a minute ago.
Now, once and for all, understand this. I don't believe you ever caught a fish weighing 80 pounds, no matter what you say. 80 pounds?
I didn't say anything about an 80 pounds.
Well, you better not. And what have you got to say, Donald Novus?
Say, did you ever hear about the halibut I caught?
It weighed 80 pounds.
Yeah, did I ever tell you that you're just about the thing it happened when your eyes met mine?
No.
Yeah.
Well.
Don't even ever mention fish to me again. Especially halibut.
Why, loving and kissing, let's try reminiscing, sweetheart. Take it from the start. We strangers were dancing, you sighing, I glancing, that's all. Now do you recall? Your eyes met mine, the kindling of a star divine. It happened that the moon shone high above, and how my hungry heart just yearned for to be dancing by. I wondered if you heard me sigh, for when you passed again, you turned around and then it happened when your eyes met. And tenderness, they thrill me through, they fill me through with wonderful dreams. I am dreaming. You happen to be dancing by. I wondered if you heard me sigh, for when you passed again, you turned around and then it happened when
it happened when your eyes met mine. And Donald, didn't you sing it, though?
Thanks, Joe.
Pardon my interrupting, Joe, but do you know where I can get a good maid?
Well, they seem to be awfully scarce, Frances. What do you want her to do, wait on table?
No, just cooking and a little light housekeeping.
Oh, I know, Frances. You mean light housekeeping, like my old friend Jim McCann used to do. He and his wife ran a lighthouse up around Maine for about 80 years until one night the gas company shut off the gas because Jim hadn't paid his bill and the light went out.
Gosh, Joe, what happened then?
Well, listen, everybody, and I'll tell you all about it. Off the coast of Maine, on the steamer lane, stood old lighthouse number 10. With its piercing light shining through the night as a guide to sailor men. But one night at 3, heaven can it be, look aloft, the lamp is out. Up the stairway ran keeper Jim McCann, and his wife heard breaking down. Wait till my teeth shine, Nellie, all the ships will see them gleam.
it fluffy that I brush them, Nellie, with Colgate Dental Clean. They'll flash a warning, Nellie, miles and miles away. Look there, my teeth are shining, Colgate saves the day.
Shining, shining over the stormy sea, no sailing bark need fear the dark as long as they see me. Shining, shining, just like a searchlight beam, sailor lad, this night is glad. I use Colgate Dental Cream,
cause all the sailors will see my teeth shine, Nellie, and avoid the rocks below. No canoe will founder, Nellie, when they see my sparkling molars glow. Through fog and darkness, Nellie, my bright teeth will sing. Just like a lighthouse, Nellie, I owe it all to Colgate Dental Cream.
You heard him, just like a lighthouse, Nellie, I owe it all to Colgate Dental Cream.
Boys, strum that lady play your mandolin. It's no wonder I can't keep my mind on my work.
Well, thanks, Joe, but what work are you trying to do?
I'm trying to set up this bridge table. Well, ouch! And if you don't think this is work, then you never got mixed up with a bridge table. Come on, Don. Give me a hand and we'll all have a game of bridge.
All right.
There now, everything's set. Let's see, Arlene.
Yes?
You sit over there.
Yes, Joe.
And Don, you sit opposite Arlene.
Okay, Joe.
Now, I'll sit next to you so I can keep an eye on your car.
Hey, that's a fine.
And Donald Lovitz, you be my partner, and don't forget what it means when I kick you in the shin.
What?
One kick if by land,
yeah.
And two kicks if by sea.
What does three kicks mean?
It means your shins will be black and blue. And another thing, now listen, now everybody must keep his mind on the game. I hate these bridge games where everybody does a lot of talking and nobody concentrates.
You're right.
Let's play a good, serious game.
Fine. That's too soon.
All right, now, let's start. Please cut the cards.
Oh, they're already cut. I always cut them in half. They last twice as long.
It's your bid.
What?
It's your bid.
Is it?
Oh.
Say, what is that song? It keeps running through my mind. I know the tune, but I can't remember the words. Did you ever remember a tune and then forget the words? I'll never forget.
Oh, Joe, it's your bid.
Oh, is it? Mm. Well, now, let me see. What's trumps?
Well, how do you know what's trumps until somebody gets the bid?
Really? Well, imagine that.
Maybe it would be a good idea to pick up all your cards, Joe.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot. Say, who do you suppose will win the World Series? I don't think Cincinnati has much of a chance.
Hey, Joe, it's your bid, please.
I'll give a fellow time, Don. If you're in such a hurry, you go ahead and bid.
All right, I'll bid if you want me to, but don't get sore about it.
I'm not sore. This is a friendly game. Say, Arlene, you bid. What? I guess I'll pass. Now let's get on to business. I hate these bridge games that never get anywhere.
All right, Joe. Well, suppose I make it...
By the way, Arlene, who do you suppose I met in Grand Central Station last night?
Who?
Old Ellsworth Peabody of Duluth.
Not Ellsworth Peabody of Duluth, Joe.
Yes, sir. You know who I mean?
Yes.
His name was Ellsworth Peabody, and he lived in Duluth.
Of course.
He came from the Peabody family of Duluth. Well, he looked great. He knew me in a minute. I didn't recognize him at first either, because I'd changed a lot since he saw me last. So we just stared at each other.
Oh, come on and play bridge, will you?
Now, look here, Don. You better keep your mind on the game like the rest of us. Arlene did two spades a long time ago.
Oh, I don't think I did, Joe.
Why, I remember distinctly, Arlene. You said two spades, and Don Voorhees said 4-0 trump. Didn't you, Don? I say, Don, didn't you make it 4-0 trump? I guess he's ashamed of himself. It's all right, Don. We all make mistakes.
Joe, it really is your bid.
Come on, Joe. If we're going to play bridge, let's play bridge.
Play bridge? Why, didn't I just get it on four spades and a grand slam?
What?
I had nothing in my hand but nine spades, four hearts, seven Ellsworth Peabody.
No, you didn't make any grand slam.
Are you sure?
He's right, Joe. Nobody's bid yet.
They haven't? Well, who's holding up the game? Why don't we get going? Say, I'll tell you what.
What?
Suppose we concentrate and play as if nothing had happened.
Nothing has happened.
Well, we'll play as though something had happened. I'll do anything you say if you'll only stop holding up this bridge game.
All right, then. Go ahead and bid.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Now let's concentrate. Hooray! I got it.
You've got what?
I got the name of that song that's been running through my mind.
But what about the bridge game, Joe?
Why, it's all over, Arlene. I just made game and rubber.
What? You and who else?
Me and Ellsworth Peabody. Besides, I don't want to play anymore. Somebody's cheating.
What?
Yeah, I had the ace of spades up my sleeve, and when it fell out, somebody must have picked it up and played it.
Well, I want to play, Joe.
Well, go ahead.
Well, what'll I play?
Play the lights are low for Francis. Sing that, Francis.
My heart is singing, it's thrilling, to me it's something new. I can't believe it's true that I am here. Together, oh, for me, what could be sweeter than loving sweeter than you? All life alone, the music is sweet, and you are in my arms. Your eyes are glow, my heart picks up me. Well, by your love,
dawn. Heaven's mine tonight, how I adore. Your love divine, my heart desires nothing more. But let us stand for this new romance. Now is our chance. The lights are low, the music is sweet, and
everybody will just heist themselves up on the piano, we'll all have a look at the newspaper. Here's the latest yachting news. The Defender tacked away from the Challenger by using a parachute spinnaker, leaving the other craft with a foul staysail that made her resort to a Genoa jib. The Challenger's crew monkeyed up the halyard block and doused her Annie Oakley. Translated into English, this means the Rainbow won today's race. I think Mr. Stopwith ought to get a horse. Well, who do you think is in the news? Yes, sir, General Johnson. The general is on the way out, and his friends are wishing him well. Both of them hope he will be much happier in his next job. Last week, a little boy swallowed 30 cents and coughed up a dime. When he grows up, he'll probably be the cashier of a bank. I'm looking for a boy who will swallow a dime and cough up 30 cents. Mrs. Upton Sinclair, wife of the candidate for governor of California, made a statement last week in which she said, "I don't think that just because a man is nominated or elected to public office, his family should step into the spotlight, too." Mrs. Sinclair, have you met Mrs. Roosevelt? Don't mind me, Mrs. Roosevelt. The American Telephone and Telegraph Company reports an increase in August of over 10,000 new phones. This means that you now have 10,000 more chances of getting the wrong number. What we ought to do is to go back to the days of the horse. You never heard of a horse giving you the wrong number. Huey Long and his opponent, the mayor of New Orleans, have been calling each other names all week. Probably they won't have any election down there this year. They'll just have a name-calling contest. If they do, my money goes on Huey, because he can talk the loudest. They tell me he once made a political speech in Louisiana and had won a hog-calling contest in Kansas. What a man.
The moon belongs to everyone, the best thing in life are three. The stars belong to everyone, they gleam there for you and me. The flowers in spring, the robins that sing, the sun beats at night, they lure their mind, and love can come to everyone.
The moon belongs to everyone. The best things in life are free. The stars belong to everyone. They gleam there for you and me.
The flowers in spring,
the robins that sing,
the sunbeams that shine,
they're yours, they're mine, and love can come to everyone. The best things in life are free. Love can come to everyone. The best things in life are.
The best things in life are free from Good News, and very good, too. You know, Don, While you were playing that number, it occurred to me that conducting an orchestra is a pretty easy job.
What do you mean, an easy job?
Why, all you do is stand up there and wave a stick and the boys play the music.
Oh, it isn't as simple as that, Joe. First, you have to rehearse the orchestra and you have to know how to lead them.
Well, it looks like a cinch to me, Don. Imagine having nothing to do except wave a little stick. I bet I could do it any time.
All right, suppose you try it. Here, go ahead and lead the orchestra.
Okay, Don. Now, wait till I get up on the stand. Pardon me. Boy. All right, boys. Now, what do you say we play Auld Lang Syne? You know how it goes. Should old acquaintance be an assessor? All right, here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Hup. That's fine, boys. See, Don, I told you it was easy. Now we'll play the Stein song. Ready, boys? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. Ah, wonderful. Boy, I'm some conductor. Did you see how I waved my arms that time, Don?
Great stuff, Joe. Try waving your feet next time. You might do even better.
All right. Now, let's see. What shall I have them play this time, Don?
Well, how about Dixie?
All right. Man, the request number. Dixie. Ready? One, two, three. Hey, wait a minute. Here, that isn't Dixie. That's a man on the fine trapeze.
Maybe you should have waved your ears, Joe.
Well, let's just try it once more. Fellows, what would I have to ask you to play to get you to play in my old Kentucky home?
Mother McCree.
Annie Lowry.
Hail Columbia.
Well, I'm glad you all agree, boys. Now, suppose you play your own song. Now, anything you want. Now, ready? One, two, three. I don't know that song, Don. What do you call it?
That's not a song, Joe. It's a personal message to you from the boys.
Oh, really? Well, isn't that nice? What were you saying to me, boys?
Good night.
Good night.
And thus ends another Colgate House Party. But there'll be another one at this same time next week. Joe Cook will be your host with Donald Novitz, Francis Langford, Don Voorhees and his orchestra, and the Colgate Quartet. And in the meantime, remember, your smile is no brighter than your teeth.